you're familiar with the golden rule. You know, the one that says, whoever has the gold makes the rules. That's the bumper sticker version. But often in our world, we believe that if you do something nice for me, I'll do something nice for you. But Jesus flips that on its head.
The rule here is to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Don't even wait around to get anything in return.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp, a ministry of Sligo Seventh-day Adventist Church in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. What if everyone actually followed the golden rule? What would our world really look like? It's a little hard to imagine, but it's something Charles Tapp explores this week as he concludes this series on the standards of Jesus, reflections from the Sermon on the Mount, as he explains why Jesus shared this important rule to live by, with his message, bumper sticker theology.
Today, we are concluding our series that we've titled The Standards of Jesus, Reflections from the Sermon on the Mount. And in our last message, we looked at a passage that, according to the author Oswald Chambers, is the most challenging word ever heard by human ears. And I want us to examine that passage again this morning. What made Oswald Chambers call these words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to verse 33, the most challenging words ever heard by human ears? So I invite you to turn with me, Matthew chapter 6, as we look at verses 31 to verse 33. Look at what God's word says. Therefore, Jesus says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we, what, wear? Man, we don't have a problem with that, do we? We just have a few clothes to choose from anyway. For after all these things, Jesus says, the Gentiles seek, referring to those who don't really know the true God. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. And here it is in verse 33. But seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, Jesus says, will be added unto you. Why did Chambers consider these words to be so challenging? And not just challenging, but in his own words, he says these are the most challenging words ever heard by human ears. I thought about that for a moment, and I reflected over it for the last few days, and here's why I believe he said that. Because these words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 rather, in verse 33, force us to make a choice, but not just any choice. These words of Jesus, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, force us to make a choice between making the kingdom of God our ultimate pursuit in this life, as opposed to making the kingdom of this world and all that it has to offer our primary pursuit. And here's what we dare not miss. Because in talking about kingdom, we're talking about power, we're talking about rule, we're talking about reign, in which God has control of our lives, we are inevitably making a choice that grants the ruler of that kingdom permission to have full, unbarred access to our lives. So if I'm making the decision to make the kingdom of God my ultimate pursuit, then I'm granting the king of that kingdom, which is our Heavenly Father, full unbarred access into my life. But if someone makes the choice And they say, I'm not going to make the kingdom of God my pursuit, but I'm going to make the kingdom of this world and everything that this world has to offer my ultimate pursuit. That individual, whether they realize it or not, are opening the door to the king of that kingdom, the king of this world, and giving him, granting him full, unbarred access. Basically, these words in Matthew 6:33 present us with the same choice, the same decision that Joshua and the children of Israel had to make as Joshua were trying to take the people into the promised land, the land of Canaan. Now remember, if you know the story in Numbers 14, Joshua and Caleb were the only two spies who did not give in to the negative report, but rather believed that through the power of God, they could make it into the land of Canaan, despite giants being in the land. And in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, when you get a chance, please read these few verses. For it is here that Joshua gives a very clear choice, and here it is. He says, you have the choice to either serve God, not just any God, but the God that delivered you from 400 years of Egyptian slavery, the God who brought you out, the very same God who rained manna down from heaven, the God who brought water from a rock, the God that allowed you to pass through the Red Sea. You've got a choice to accept that God, or you've got a choice to accept the God of the Amorites in whose land they were now in. But then Joshua makes a very powerful declaration, so powerful that it continues to reverberate in our hearts and our minds even until this very day. He gives them the choice either to serve God, the true God, or the God of the Amorites. But then Joshua takes a stand. Joshua says, and I'm sure you all know it, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who says amen to that today? Joshua says, for me, it's not even a choice. I've already made up my mind. You can serve the God of the Amorites if you want, but for me and my house, as long as you're under my roof, we will serve the Lord. Now, sometimes when our children go out from under our roof, they can do what they want, parents. But as long as they're in your house, make it clear. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when we make the decision to serve the Lord, we're not just making a decision to trust God as our Redeemer. But as we've learned through the Sermon on the Mount, especially in chapter 6, we are making a decision to accept God as our Sustainer. We're making the decision to acknowledge that it is God who provides for us and not ourselves. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, listen, if you make that choice, then you don't need to worry about the things that those of this world who don't know me worry about. Things like clothing and things like food and drink and all the other material possessions. Jesus says, they pursuing after these things so much so that they have turned them into treasures, things that they think they can find their ultimate eternal joy in. And Jesus says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, on earth rather, where moth and dust and thieves can break in and steal. In other words, don't spend all of your time in this life in the pursuit of things that are temporary. He says, but pursue the things of this life that are eternal. And as I was sharing with our prayer gathering group on Wednesday night, because we've been going a little deeper here, I thought about it for a moment as I was driving across town. The very trials that you and I go through, anybody been going through any trials? Trouble, tragedy in your life? Have they caused you great anxiety at times? Yes, they have. But here's the thing, for they fall into the same category of the things of this world. Paul says, when I compare what God has for me to that I'm going through that is giving me great anxiety, he says, I see them in the light of what they really are. He says, they are light and momentary. Paul refers to them as things that are temporary. See, not only are the material things of this life temporary, your troubles are temporary. Your trials are temporary. The tragedy that you've gone through in this life that have brought you great tears for loss of a loved one, temporary. So don't worry. Don't allow yourself to be anxious over those things. For Paul says, the things of this world that you can see, they're temporary. But the things of this world that you can't see, they are eternal. And those are the things that we need to make our life pursuit after. Not the things of this world, not the things that are temporary, but the things under the kingdom of God. But now we make a transition to a segment of the Sermon on the Mount that I believe for every Christian is where the rubber truly does meet the road. There are the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 that we read in our scripture reading, where he simply says, treat others in the same way that you would want them to treat you. Amen. Whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, this sounds very familiar. Because in many cultures, this saying of Jesus comes under the classification as the golden rule. You've seen this saying on posters, you've seen it on mugs, you've seen it on t-shirts, and I'm sure many of you have seen it on bumper stickers. When I was pastoring in New York City, I lived in Queens, and at this time I was pastoring in Brooklyn, so I have to drive to Brooklyn just about every day. If you've ever driven anywhere in Brooklyn, you understand. I saw this car that had a bumper sticker on it, and I tried to get as close as I could to the car because when I read what I thought I read, I said, this cannot be. So I got as close as I could without causing any accidents, and I read the bumper sticker, and this is what the bumper sticker said. I kid you not. It said, do unto others, then split. Now, of course, this is not the golden rule. But it is a severe distortion of the golden rule. Like what I heard the other day when somebody said, I believe in the golden rule, for whoever has the gold is the one who rules. And the golden rule has all kinds of various variations. But Jesus said, treat others the way you want to be treated. And then he ends by saying, for this is the law and the prophets. Please don't miss this. Jesus says, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, if you were here at the beginning of our series, you remember our primary passage in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to verse 20. And in verse 17 of Matthew 5, Jesus says, do not think I have come to destroy what? The law or what? The prophets. He says, I have not come to destroy the law or the prophets. Rather, he says, my purpose is to fulfill the law. And by fulfill, in essence, what Jesus was saying, I am trying to get at the true meaning behind the law. In our common vernacular, he would probably have said, I'm trying to get what is at the root meaning of the law. And he gave us several examples in his six antitheses. One being, you have heard it said of old, you shall not kill. But I say unto you that whoever has anger enough in his heart to kill has already committed murder. But now he draws to the end of his sermon. And in doing so, he is giving us a lesson, giving us a standard here that you and I as Christians should be willing to live out every day of our lives. He is presenting us with a powerful demonstration of what it really means, please don't miss this, to be a citizen of the kingdom of God.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Bumper Sticker Theology. Simple Truths for Life is a ministry of Sligo Seventh-day Adventist Church in Tacoma Park, Maryland. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
The last 18 months have brought on a range of emotions for each of us. From all that we've experienced, it's easy to feel stressed, burned out, and exhausted. I'm Becky from Middays at WGTS 91.9. Despite what you're seeing on the news and social media, you can be reminded that there is hope. Join WGTS 91.9 for Night of Hope at Capitol Turnaround on November 5th at 6:30, featuring Hope Darst. And Pastor Charles Tapp of Simple Truths for Life.
God never makes a promise to his children that is too good to be true.
Find out more and RSVP today at WGTS919.com. Special thanks to Impact Collective and Adventist Healthcare for its support.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And what would happen to our world if everyone actually followed the Golden Rule? It's something Charles Tapp explores this week as he concludes this series on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount with his message, Bumper Sticker Theology.
But now he draws to the end of his sermon. And in doing so, he is giving us a lesson, giving us a standard here that you and I as Christians should be willing to live out every day of our life. He is presenting us with a powerful demonstration of what it really means, please don't miss this, to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. Even the Apostle Paul weighed in on this issue. Look at Romans chapter 13, verses 8 and 10. He articulates it a little differently, but basically Paul is saying the same thing Jesus said. He says, owe no one what? Anything except to do what? Love one another. For he who loves another has what? Fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, he says, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? You are to treat others the way you desire to be treated. Verse 10, for love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And we don't even have to ask, well, who is my neighbor? Because in the parable of the Samaritan, Jesus made that perfectly clear. Whoever is alive today and you come in contact with them, that's your neighbor. You don't have to like them for them to be your neighbor. Have you ever lived in a community where you did not like your neighbors? Before you answer too quickly, maybe they did not like you. So a neighbor is anybody you and I have contact with. Now, many have confused Jesus' words here with the law of reciprocity. The law of reciprocity basically says, well, if I do this for you, you're not obligated to do that for me. Let me give you an illustration. If I invite you for lunch, now you're obligated to invite me for lunch. And sometimes, I know it's not you, but sometimes we only do things for people who can do the same thing for us. That's the law of reciprocity. You do for me because I know what I've done for you. Jesus said, nope, that's not the rule here. The rule here is to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Don't even wait around to get anything in return. Someone told me a few minutes ago, Pastor, they said, what about this? Do something good to others, then split. Random acts of kindness. When's the last time you did something good and you just split? You didn't wait around to see who was going to say anything. I did that months ago. You know, WGTS always talks about the drive-through difference. So I decided to do that. I had never done it before. I challenged all of you to do it. I was rushing to class, kind of late, didn't get anything to eat. So I pulled in McDonald's to get an egg McMuffin without the meat. And I said, I like to have an egg McMuffin, no Canadian bacon, thank you. And I got a, what do you call those French fries? Not French fry, hash browns. You know what I'm talking about, you've been there. And then I said to the person, the cashier, whatever the person behind me ordered, I'm gonna pay for it. And she went, do you know how much it is? I said, oh man, I wish I had thought about that first. But it was too late. Larry had already jumped. I said, whatever it is. Thank God it was only like $6.50. Praise God. So I paid for it. And then I pulled away. And as I was about to go out of the parking lot, I just stopped just to see her reaction. And Kay, it was priceless. She pulled up to the window. She got her food and she gave her the card. The woman said, and she said, take the car, she said. And then she pointed to me, and then I drove away. Didn't even give her a chance to find me. I was gone like the wind. Do something good for others, then split. Several months ago when our country was dealing with a lot of unrest due to hate crimes that were spreading throughout the country, I was invited to do a radio interview where the host asked me to share some words of comfort to the listening audience. So when they came from the break of playing the music, we started talking. He said, Pastor, can you give us some words that will help people to deal with what was going on in our country today? And I said simply this, and it came in the form of a question. And I said, what if for one day every person who's listening to me right now, decided to follow the words of Jesus here in Matthew 7, verse 12. For one day, to treat others the way they want to be treated. What if our politicians, before they made a decision, before they opened their mouths, said, how would I want to be treated? What would I want said about me if the tables were turned? What if every church member here today, before they responded to something that someone said that made them angry, said to themselves, well, how would that person want me to respond? How would I want them to respond to me? Or when someone does something wrong, they make a mistake, and you're ready to jump and bring that mistake to their attention and everybody else's attention, what would you want done to you? The world would change overnight. Please don't miss what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, you got all these laws and all that's good, but guess what? They mean nothing if you don't get this part. You can have all the biblical knowledge you want. You can understand every prophecy in Daniel and the Revelation. But if you don't treat people the way you would be treated, if the tables were turned, as Paul says, you're just making a whole lot of noise. And too many of us are making too much noise today. For this is where the rubber really meets the road. This is what lets the world know that we belong to the kingdom of God. If I'm going to treat you, whether I like you or not, as Jesus said, he said, even love your enemies, treat your enemies the way you would want to be treated. Well, Pastor, that's hard. Who said being a citizen of the kingdom of God was easy? It's not. But too many of us are determined to follow a bumper sticker theology. do unto others, then split. It's like starting a fire, but not waiting around to see who gets burned. It's like starting a rumor and not waiting to see the damage that is done. It's like denying someone their rights simply because you feel you should have it as your own, regardless of who they are and how desperately they may be in need of it. But when you and I follow Jesus' words, the golden rule, it transcends culture, it transcends socioeconomic background, it transcends gender, it transcends race. But here's the issue at hand. The golden rule, Matthew 7, all by itself, really doesn't give us insight into why we should treat others the way we want to be treated. Jesus told them earlier in the sermon, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. Let's take a look at it quickly. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall what? Find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. Verse 8. For everyone who asks does what? Receives. And he who seeks does what? Finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Please don't miss these next couple of verses. For Jesus is giving us the motivation why we should keep the golden rule. He says, or what man is there among you who if his what? Son, someone you have relationship with, family, asks for bread, will give him what? A stone. Basically, Jesus is saying, why should I give him a stone if what he needs is food? And even though stones may be good things, if it doesn't meet the need, it does not benefit me. Amen? Please stay with me. Or if he asks for a fish, still hungry, talking about a need being met, and you give him a serpent, will you give him a serpent? You may have good intentions, but that's not what I need. Please don't miss this. That's not what's best for me. If you then being what? Evil. That word evil doesn't mean sinister. It doesn't mean wicked in the Greek. It means imperfect. If you then being evil, imperfect, know how to give what? Good gifts. Good meaning beneficial. What is needed to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven do what? Give good or beneficial or do what is best to those who ask. And verse 12 says, therefore, do unto others. In other words, based on everything I've said, that's why you need to do what's best for others. Why, Jesus? Because that's what God does for you. Amen. So Jesus is saying, your motivation for treating others the way you want to be treated is not so they will treat you that way, but it's because that's how your Heavenly Father treats you. God extends you grace, that's your motivation for extending grace. God extends you forgiveness, that's your motivation for extending others forgiveness. Who's the others? Everybody, including your enemies. Let's live by the golden rule, the law that sums up every other law, and let's change somebody's world. Let's do something good, then split.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Bumper Sticker Theology. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages by subscribing to our podcasts on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify. Now, here's what we're working on for next week.
Why is it that we can take something so good, full of potential to do so good in the lives of people, and turn it into something evil?
It's been said that the most dangerous member in the church is also the smallest, and that is the tongue. Next week, Charles Tapp asks whether your words serve to build, strengthen, and encourage, or do they tear down others? You won't want to miss this important message titled, The Weight of Words. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more simple truths for life.